Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Going Viking podcast. Today, we are going to talk about a new upcoming video game called The Tribes of Midgard. I am delighted to be here with Kelly Horning, the community manager for Norsefell and Tribes of Midgard. She has graciously agreed to come chat with me, even with her busy schedule, as she continues her work on the narrative design, direction, and lore of the game. So thank you so much for talking to me today, Kelly.
Yes, thanks for having me. But yeah, I'm super happy to be here and to talk about Tribes of Midgard.
So first of all, how was your time at GDC and PAX? I know you guys just got back from these events, and I can only imagine the recovery time you may need.
Yes, it's a busy time of year for us. Lots of events start to happen as the weather starts to change and it gets warmer. And so two of the events that we did this year was GDC was the first one, the Game Developers Conference that happens every year in San Francisco. And it's a great opportunity to go and meet other developers, but also be meeting publishers and investors, streamers will go, and to really be connecting with more of the international community at large and just find out more about what's happening in the industry. And they have talks, they have parties, there's tons to do, but it's very busy. And then we also went to PAX East, which was in Boston at the end of March. And that is a much more player-facing event. So we got to meet people who played our game, who tried it out and got very different feedback. But it was wonderful. You can probably tell by my voice. It was lots of fun. But yeah, things are growing for us. And so getting to take our game out of the studio and into the world is always really, really exciting.
Yeah, I bet. I saw the pins you had were a big hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was really fun designing them and making them. Our concept artist and I had a lot of fun deciding what we should have pins of. And now that we know they're well-liked and popular, I really hope we can have more going forward. So we'll see. To be determined.
Okay, so let's start in the beginning. What is Tribes of Midgard?
So Tribes of Midgard is a cooperative survival game. You play with a group of friends, up to 10 people, as Vikings in a village. And there are giants who are coming to destroy your village. So you have to work together to craft items, to build up defenses, explore the world, discover things, all with the purpose of stopping these giants from destroying your home. It's a simple concept, easy enough, but we want it to be really fun and really accessible for more casual gamers, but definitely the longer you stay in the game, the longer your village lasts. We want there to be different challenges and things you can explore. It's a procedurally generated world, which means every map, every village is going to be different from the next. So it really is a unique world. If the giant destroys the tree in the center of your village, that's kind of our gauge for survival, then the world really is over. And the next time you start up a game, it'll be an entirely new map, new layout. The resources will kind of be scattered differently. So it's every time you play, it's different. And we hope that's exciting for people.
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that I was able to play the alpha version and I died, restarted it, and then everything was different. I'm like, oh, well, this is neat.
Yeah. And we hope that means whether you choose to play with a really big group or maybe a small group of friends or even just by yourself as a single player, that means different challenges and different, I guess, styles of gameplay. Mm-hmm. In that sense. You have to strategize and move around the world a little bit differently. So we want it to be really dynamic that way.
Cool. So, you know, with games out there, there's a lot of bigger games like God of War, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, For Honor, and countless others. The Vikings have been a popular topic to tackle recently. Why did you guys choose to create a game with Norse mythology and Vikings?
I wish I had a really intellectual, cool answer, but the truth is we just really like Vikings.
That's good enough for me.
And we love Norse mythology. So our company is called Norsefell. And so we are super inspired by Norse legends and myths. That's always been just part of our company ethos, I suppose. But around the time that this game idea and pitch was kind of forming, we were getting really inspired by Iceland, the landscape and the geography of Iceland. A couple of us at the studio have been, and we were pitching a game for the Ubisoft Indie Series, which is basically a contest for game developers that Ubisoft runs every year now. And we wanted to have something that was fun, that was really beautiful, that was this world that would be really exciting to explore. And we picked Norse mythology because we love Norse mythology. And creating a game that was about working together was also something that was really important to us. Rather than competing with others, we liked the idea that you would have a multiplayer game where you'd have to help each other out a little bit more, which was something that we weren't really seeing. And that's how it was born. And we won the Indie Series, which was really amazing. And it just kind of grew from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I noticed the Norsefell banner in the game itself in the little village. That was kind of a little cool little thing.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to keep that for the final release, but we have it for now. That might be something that at some point players can customize and pick their own.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, but we'll see. I don't get to make that choice, so I can't make any promises now.
So with all the Norse mythology in this game, what type of research went into it? Was there a balance between the sources of Norse myths, such as like the poetic or prose Edda, with your own creative direction?
Mm-hmm. That's always the exciting thing about working with source material, is getting to decide what you keep and what you add to the project yourself. And so for us, in terms of inspiration and source material, we were really working from the story of the Ragnarok, which comes from Völuspá, from the Poetic Edda, which I think is great for so many reasons, because that particular poem gives a lot of detail about the world itself. It talks about the Tree of Life. It talks about the different gods, different giants. It tells about different creatures that exist. And so there's a lot of detail about the, I guess, whole world that you're working with. So it's a really great source for that. But it goes into the story of this rivalry that happens between the gods and the giants and the end of the world, basically. It's a prophecy that's being told from the point of view, or I guess it's the speaker is a Völva, is a witch or a seeress who is making a prophecy about the future. And she's speaking to Odin, who is one of the big guys in Norse mythology. And I think what's really awesome about this poem is that she's the only one who speaks, but you can tell a lot of what's going on based on the things that she says. And you can see how Odin is reacting to what she's saying. She is almost taunting him in a way. She says, she'll say something horrible that happens and then go on to say, "Would you yet know more?" Like she's really poking him and, I don't know, kind of teasing him with this, I don't know, really epic but kind of terrible story of what's to come. And I think that's what makes Norse mythology so special, is that as opposed to, I guess, other mythologies, the Norse gods get scared and they bleed and they die. They're very prone to error a lot of the time. And I think that's something that's really exciting to work with. And something that inspired us a lot was this this battle between gods and between giants, and wondering where humans fit in that. And when you read that poem especially, it becomes clear that Midgard, which is where humans live, is kind of an afterthought. It's the battlefield. Humans really aren't given a second glance. And that was something that we were interested in playing around with. If you're kind of the outsider, the third wheel to this this really epic end of the world war that's going on, and your home is the battlefield, what's your role in that? How do you protect yourselves? How do you protect your home? And so that was definitely a point of inspiration, but it's one that we kind of keep referencing and coming back to, because that's where a lot of the information about the giants comes from. Another one for me, just as I've been adding to some of the narrative details, especially with the items that we've been designing in the world and just general lore. I really like the Volsunga saga. I think it's in the Prose Edda. It's this epic story about a family, basically, that goes, you follow different generations, I guess, and the things that they get up to and the obstacles that they overcome. And I think it's just a very nice classic tale of what's important to Vikings and the things that they aspired to be, to have weapons that were so powerful that were maybe given to them by the gods, or to strive for honor, to strive for, I guess, remembrance and to honor your ancestors. That was really important to them. And so that's one that I find I like to reference a little bit. I talked about Iceland a little bit for visuals. That was a huge point of reference for us. And there's a ton of great poetry and literature that comes from early Icelandic sources. As I mentioned, the fun thing about working with adaptations is you can really figure out, I guess, what the core of these stories and what people like about the stories is. And then from there, we find a little bit of freedom in playing around with what we want to add to it, and not just the story that we want to tell, but the experience that we want players to have. And so working together and maintaining this home is a pretty key part of our game, but it's nice that that's something that is part of, I guess, Viking history as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Norse mythology is so fascinating. You know, the Eddas are really something to read and explore. And I even like the little intricate details you guys put into the game, like with the weapons. There's a sword called Ymir's Eyelash.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
I like those little details to kind of give some more hints towards Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we definitely want to build on even more. Right now, we said we're an alpha, so we're still pretty early on in the development process, and we really have the foundations for the game there. We're testing out the multiplayer even more because there's only so many of us at the studio to play the game at a time. And so getting this feedback has been really amazing in order to build up those core systems. And then from there, as we move into beta and into early access, we can really just start filling out the world even more with more items, more creatures and characters, and the lore fills in with it as well, I think. And so stuff like that sword, Ymir's Eyelash, are definitely more, I guess, Easter eggs for people who love the literature and the stories to find throughout. I really loved the idea that the most powerful sword in the game is going to be the skinny little tiny one, but it's so satisfying when you use it. If you can craft it, I highly recommend. It has some strong powers to it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the Eddas are just, they're so rich in stories of gods and heroes from the creation of the world to Ragnarok. Was there one thing that really sparked your interest that you absolutely had to have in the game?
The giants. They're so, I guess, funny, and they're characters on their own. I mean, it's really easy to follow the gods in these stories because, I mean, they're the gods and they get into trouble. I mean, Thor always gets his hammer stolen. Always. and Loki always gets blamed for everything. They're very amusing, but looking at the giants and seeing that they have their own, I guess, hierarchy. They have kings and they have, I don't know, war giants that lead these battles. And there's a lot going on there as well. But because they're not described in as much detail as, let's say, Odin is or any of the other gods, it means that we have a lot more freedom as to what we want to do with them. But because they're also the major enemy in our game, we really want to make them epic and spectacular, but also kind of unexpected, that each one is going to be very different from the other, and not just visually and how they fight, but also how you'll need to defeat them. So some giants you'll be able to take down with just brute force and leveling up as much as you can and just jumping in, whereas others might require a little bit more strategy with your team or if you're on your own as to how you want to take them down. So that's something we're super excited for. And I guess the other thing too, that especially as we go forward and we're adding more to the game, is the items and the equipment that you get to make. Because Norse mythology has so many named objects, like the hammer, but also Freya's necklace, and oh gosh, there's so many things that get an official title that's kind of fun to play around with too. And a big part of our game is the crafting, and is about what you get to make and carry with you throughout Midgard. So that's something that I hope we can show at some point soon as we add more stuff to the game.
Yeah, I really love the one design of the giant with the Viking ship sticking out of him.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. I can't take credit for it. I'm not an artist, but I think when you can combine, I guess, the gameplay of what they're doing, but also with the art, with the visual aspects, and they can kind of tell a story of its own, I think that's super, super exciting. And I'm excited for everyone to see the giants that are coming next. We'll get there at some point.
Okay, so I have a few basic questions that gamers tend to look at before purchasing a game, sort of like the general guidelines to what we can expect when we begin to play it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So one, is there a narrative story to it?
Kind of. So when you're working with a game like this, it can be really tricky to add in a very traditional linear start to finish plot based story, mostly because we're kind of working within two, I don't want to call them obstacles, but limitations with this game, which is that first off, it's an open world game. You have this huge, huge map, and players will explore it based on their own choices of what they want to see first, what they want to do. And so you have to be prepared if you're going to be telling any kind of story or sharing lore that the players might not receive it in the order that you wanted them to, or that you expect them to even. And so those pieces need to be able to fit together randomly or just fragmentedly. There's always the chance that someone will miss something entirely, and you want the game to still be really satisfying even if they don't catch something. So that's one big consideration. But the other one is that it's a multiplayer game. So if other players are doing things before others, or they're making discoveries, it means that someone might miss out on a lot. If, I don't know, say a big tomb or a monument, I don't know that we have monuments yet, but something gets discovered and there's this big reveal, but not all the players are there. We still want, again, the game to feel good and be exciting and interesting, even if you miss out on certain things. And so basically the way to work around those kinds of frameworks is to have some environmental narrative, which is basically the idea that you're telling a story using your surroundings. So using things like the ship that's part of the giant. That tells you a lot about how that giant came to be and what might have happened in his past. Or just being able to find things in the wild. If you're running in the woods and you come across, like graves or really shiny gems just scattered everywhere, it tells you a little bit about what's happened in that place and can kind of inform you more about what's going on in the world, but about what's going to come next, which I think games do really, really nicely. There's also the village, which is, I would say, a more stable point in the game. It's the only, I guess, area right now that's really handcrafted, aside from some of the camps and shrines and special sites you can find in the world. But the village is meant to be really stationary, that every time you come back, the buildings should still be there. But that allows us to do a lot of the, I guess, lore sharing and world building there, especially with the NPCs in the village. And we're planning on adding some more. Right now we have a blacksmith, we have a tailor, and we have a Volva, who's doing the job of a healer right now. But through them, we can share some story elements through what's called barks in games. You've probably seen it before. If you run past an NPC and they just say something, they shout stuff out. So having barks, having dialogue can do that really nicely. And the thing that's great about that is that if players don't want to interact that way, they don't have to. We're not forcing them to have conversations with NPC characters or go through really long cutscenes when they just want to get back to the game. And so if lore is something you're interested in, we want to have those elements available to you through those areas, but also through things like item descriptions, through collectibles at some point. There's a lot of little ways to disperse narrative. So I guess to answer your question, it won't be a traditional kind of story. It'll be more something that you discover as you play the game, and the pieces will fit together a little bit more, and you'll learn more about what's going on in this world as you play.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I like to, be able to piece things together, and that's always a special type of narrative too to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use the example that it's like a detective story where you're kind of figuring it out as you go. That if you're reading a detective novel, let's say, you come in as someone with expertise, but you don't have all the information. And so you have to kind of keep going and explore a little bit more and find those clues that can help tell what the full story actually is.
How far can we go in customizing the Viking we play with? Can we switch up the armor, the colors, their name?
Yes, to everything. right now for the alpha, it's just randomized because we just want to have people playing the game so we can see. But the plan is to have your avatar super, super customizable. When you start the game, you'll get to choose just really basic appearance in terms of hair color, skin color, your name. But then as you get into the world and as you get playing, things like your armor and your weapons will be really up to you as to what you like the looks of, but also how you like to play the game. Right now we just have handheld weapons, but I might be starting a rumor now, but we might have ranged weapons. I'll have to double check when I'm back in the office. But that in having that really changes how people play the game, depending on if you can attack from a distance or if you have to do it up close. And so rather than having a class system, we wanted it to be more about roles so that you can see what's available to craft and then you can make your choices based on that. Our armor will also have some elemental perks as well, depending on who you're fighting. So you might want to build this really epic ice set that makes you really strong against certain enemies, but also then be able to trade pieces with other players that, because you're working together, you want your team to be as strong as possible. So if some people just love crafting and they do it all the time, they can make pieces to give to others. So that's something that's important to us, that you can do that, but you can also strategize then. So if everyone in your village wants to have a different armor set, you can do that. If you all want to be one giant ice team, you can do that too. And then going forward, we plan on having cosmetics at some point as well. Tribes of Midgard will be a premium game, so it'll just be one price that you pay at the start, and then because we're on dedicated servers and we'll need to keep those going, we plan on having cosmetics, which will just be crazy outfits or really wild outfits that you can buy that will just be a visual change in the game. But we have some plans for some really weird stuff. So we'll have tons of options for people, and depending on how they want to play the game, it'll really be up to them. So it'll come.
All that sounds great. I know customization is a really big popular thing amongst gamers now, with almost every game you can customize the skins and the weapons, and people really mm-hmm. seem to enjoy it.
Well, especially with multiplayer games too, if you have a screen and there's 10 people playing and they all look the same, it can mm-hmm. be just not as exciting to play or to remember which character you are. But it's also, it's a way to show your achievements in the game too, that because our survival aspects aren't individually based. It's about keeping your village alive rather than keeping your character alive. We still wanted to make sure that we have some kind of element for players to have their own achievements. And if you've managed to craft these incredible weapons or incredible armor, that's awesome. And we want players to be able to recognize that in themselves, that they've achieved something that maybe someone else hasn't yet.
So speaking on the multiplayer front of it, I know we spoke briefly about it. Can you explain a little more? I know you can play up to 10 players.
Mm-hmm. So cooperative games are something that's really, I think, growing more now. You see so many that are out. Don't Starve Together was a big one that we've been looking at, just in terms of the mechanics, how people interact with each other. But you also see a lot of like couch gaming or local co-op games where people all play together on one screen. Our game is not that, but we're seeing how much people like those kinds of games, and they like being able to work together towards something. We do get a lot of questions about sabotage. If you can sabotage other players in your village. And the official answer is we have not designed that, but we expect people will probably find loopholes in our,
to try.
They'll figure out a way. So we're waiting to see what people come up with. But yeah, for us, we really wanted the game to work no matter how many people you have in your village, but also no matter what the skill levels are. A lot of the time with multiplayer games, you can have these teams where some people are really experienced and they game for hours and hours every day. And sometimes you have other people that just hop in and they're just trying something new, which is, I think, especially a consideration for us given the theme of the game. We have a lot of players who just really love Norse mythology and they don't play a lot of video games. And so they want to play the game for that aspect. And being in a game suddenly with some really, really hardcore players who just want to run through as fast as they can be really alienating or really discouraging. And so having a game where you can work together, but you can also do very different things in the world, and all of it contributes to your village surviving, I think it's really awesome and really exciting. That if you have players that love combat and they want to raid camps and they want to tackle these giants right away, you can do that. And there's plenty of options to do so. But for other players who love gathering and crafting things and just making stuff and growing, that there's plenty of options in the game to do that too. And both of those things help your village. When we were at PAX, we saw so many people who just loved cutting down trees. And we had to tell them, the giant's almost at your village. You need to go get the giant. And they were like, yeah, I'll do it in a minute. Because they loved harvesting plants. And I think that's so awesome that that they were having fun with something that to us is a very simple mechanic. But it is really satisfying being able to build up your stores and seeing what you can make. And so regardless of how you like to play, we want to make sure that there's something fun for everyone. And right now it's definitely easier if you are playing with a group. But as we go forward, we want to make sure that single player is really fun as well. And figuring out how to scale the game that way is something that getting feedback on is really awesome for us by doing things like alpha testing or showing the game, that people letting us know that that's what they want is what we need to hear going forward if we're going to be adding that kind of stuff in.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would want to share that gets you really excited for the fans to experience?
Yeah, I mean, if you can tell by now, I'm super excited about this game. We're in alpha right now. The plan is to go into beta this spring and then early access for the summer, and then probably the full release about a year after that. So we're still, you know, pretty early, and there's lots more to change and to be added to the game. And so, yeah, as I've said, having players give us feedback and even just be playing the game is super, super helpful. This weekend we've had people streaming, which is amazing because we can watch and see the way that people are discovering stuff. If they're dying really quickly, their reaction to things, it helps inform us going forward and making more design choices about what's working, what we want more of, if we want to get people more freaked out about these giants, or if we want more discoveries to happen sooner. It's really awesome to see, especially so early in development, because we can still make changes. We're not so locked in just yet that we can still move stuff around based on that feedback. And so coming next, we have a lot of plans for filling out the world a little bit more. Well, a lot more, I should say. We have plans for more biomes, for more lands that you can discover, and that generally comes with more resources and more creatures, and also more giants as well. Oh my gosh, we have some cool giants on the way. And I guess the other thing that I'm excited about, and I've said it before, but we want to have some unexpected stuff that comes up that, I guess as with the mythology, it's predicted, but you never know when it's going to come. We definitely want to incorporate gods at some point, but I will not reveal yet how that's going to be appearing in the game. You'll have to keep an eye out to see. But in terms of having unexpected stuff, we want to really reward people for exploring the world and exploring different areas and really working with your team to decide, okay, we're going to stay and defend the village while this portion of players will go to this particular area, see what's there, bring it back. That it all kind of ties together that way, into this loop of talking with your team, figuring out a plan, going out into the world, doing a bunch of different stuff, coming back. Okay, now that we've done this, what's next? It really just ends up feeding back into the cooperative elements, which is what our game is all about.
That's really exciting. I will definitely be on this ride with you guys. I'm excited to see what all the new implementations you guys are doing, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah, we're excited. We're happy to have you on the journey. And for anyone listening who's been excited by this too and is interested to know more, you can sign up for our mailing list, which will also be for beta coming up in a couple weeks. It's www.tribesofmidgard.com. Pretty simple. But we are also on social media as well. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And we also have a Discord as well, where you can talk to us and ask questions and learn more about the game. So feel free to jump in any of those points, and we'd be super happy to hear what you think.
And I will provide all that contact information for them in the show notes, so you guys, easy links, and you can see where to go. Yeah, when I saw this game coming out, I think it was a few weeks ago, I actually was just made aware of it. I was so excited. I'm pretty sure I reached out to you that night. So I just want to say thank you for joining me today. It was really enjoyed having this chat with you and learning more about this game.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm always, always happy to talk about it. We have some really amazing things coming forward. So it's nice to finally be able to talk about it. We don't have to keep it under wraps anymore. So yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
And I would like to wish you the best of luck in the development of the game and all the hard work that goes into it. So make sure you guys get some sleep.
Yes. We're all in it together, but we're excited to see what's coming up next. So,
all right. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to another episode of the Going Viking podcast. See you next time. Skull.